Tonight, a spaceman arrives on Earth. It's his first trip, and he finds out that the planet isn't all it's cracked up to be. Our story is called Sea Legs. It's X-1 from May 2nd, 1956.
Now, stay tuned for X-1 on NBC.
Countdown for blastoff. X-5, 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1. Tonight, the Frank Quattrocchi story, Sea Legs.
I stood in line at the Grav 1 desk with the old notched service record and tapes in my hand and waited for the bored processing clerk to speak. The clerk seemed utterly indifferent to the excitement of the men in the line. I wondered how long he'd been out here on this godforsaken Zone 5 planet.
Next. Name?
Robert Craig.
Occupation?
Flight officer.
Destination?
Earth.
Earth?
Anything wrong with that?
Well, I guess not. How long since you've been on Earth, Mr. Craig?
Well, I've never been there. My parents left during the second colonization of Cassiopeia. I was born there.
Have you ever been in a gravity system?
Oh, just briefly. Under drugs, of course.
You'll have to go through the gravity conditioning course.
Yes, so I was told.
Proceed to the airlock chamber on your right and follow the robot's orders. Good luck. You may need it. Next.
I went into the chamber and stripped off my clothing while the robot droned its orders.
Remove all metal objects from your person. Place them in the plastic tube at your left. Now stand underneath the decontamination tube. Depress the button with your right foot. This is all. Proceed through the green door to the psychometric section. Please respond quickly to orders, and so to not impede the progress of others. Next, please.
The door to the psychometric section led into a pleasant but cold-looking room with a single metal desk. A man with a balding, high forehead sat behind the desk.
Mr. Craig, have a seat. I'm Captain Wyandotte, the psychological officer.
Nice to meet you.
Yes, well, let's see your records. You list your destination as Terra. You're certain you wish to go to Earth?
Of course I'm certain.
You're somewhat aggressive, Mr. Craig.
Look, I've been standing in line taking orders from clerks and robots for 6 hours. Every time somebody sees that I'm headed for Earth, I get the fish eye. Are they jealous or what?
I hardly think so. You've been a spaceman for 16 years, Mr. Craig. You've been zooming around in the countergraph systems in the outer galaxies without any restraints or self-discipline.
Have you ever spent 6 weeks strapped into a grav seat on a space rocket, Captain? There's a good deal of self-discipline involved in that.
I think you'll find things on Terra require a different kind of self-discipline, Mr. Craig.
Well, I'm pretty much aware of what it's like.
Are you? I suppose you've heard all the popularizations in the tape zines. Well, Mr. Craig, let me give you a word of caution. It's going to be vastly different.
I'm prepared for that, Captain. Can we get going?
Naturally. You will undergo a 20-day conditioning course.
20 days?
Mr. Craig, you've been in space 16 years. Your body is conditioned to a normal state of free fall, or at best, to acceleration. The return to gravity would kill you if you weren't prepared for it.
All right, what do I do?
Report to Centrifugal Department. Here are your papers. Oh, and Mr. Craig.
Yes?
Centrifugal is a rather trying ordeal. If during the course of treatment you should change your mind about returning to Earth, you're free to do so.
Thanks. I won't. I'd heard about Centrifugal, but you can never really know about these things until you experience them. Four times a day, we were whirled around until it seemed as if our insides were too big for our bodies. On the 12th day, it got to be too much for me. I was in the base hospital for 5 days. My roommate was an old space bum they'd brought in to die with a case of ruptured veins. His name was Charlie Brockman.
How you feel, son?
I'm pretty good, Charlie.
You get discharged tomorrow, I hear. You gonna try it again?
I guess so.
Why?
Only way I'll ever get to Earth.
You really want to go?
That's right.
You talk to anybody been there last 10 years or so?
No, you don't get to talk to many people from Earth in the galaxies. Were you ever there?
Me? Now, what would an old space bum like me be doing on Terra?
Well, I just thought maybe...
I done most of my time in Zone 5. Out there, you get to thinking anybody who stays less than 80 light years from Earth is a landlubber.
Yeah, I used to think the same. Then I took the exam for a job back on Earth, and I passed it.
I used to think I'd like to go back, but space was exciting, you know. New and raw, it tugged at your guts and it sent the blood rushing through your veins. But it was free. No bureaucrat ever lasted 6 months in Grav 5.
I had enough hitting atmospheres all over the universe, old man.
Maybe you're right. Lean over here, will you?
Sure.
Unbutton my pajama top, will you?
Okay.
There's a chain around my neck. Got a little message capsule on it.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Do me a favor, huh? Take it with you when you go back to Terra. Don't open it till you're on the ship.
Okay, Charlie.
And son.
Yes?
I lied to you. I have been back to Terra. I faked some papers and made a landing there 6 months ago.
What are you doing back here?
I had to leave in a hurry.
Why?
You'll find out, son. Good luck.
Charlie died the next day. A few hours later, I was visited by Captain Wyandotte, the psych officer.
How are you feeling, Craig?
Okay.
You still want to go back to Earth?
Yes.
You're completely sure you want to live out your life there, to give up space service for it?
Look, we've gone through this, Captain. Now, you tell me that spacemen don't settle down on Terra, yet you won't or you can't tell me why. All right, what's the pitch? Does the space service need men so badly that they have to make it impossible for us to go back?
That, Mr. Craig, you will have to discover for yourself. You have my authorization to complete your conditioning and return to Earth as a private citizen. I wish you luck. You'll need all you can get.
Somehow I managed to survive the torments for 18 days. I was ready to return to Earth. A month later, I descended from a huge intergalactic jet at Los Angeles Spaceport. I was dead tired from the trip. I checked in at the nearest inexpensive hotel.
This is your room, sir.
Put the bags down, will you? I'll unpack myself.
Yes, sir. Just back from outer space, sir?
Yeah, that's right. How could you tell?
Sea legs.
Sea legs?
Well, the way you walk. You can tell when somebody's been in the low grav systems.
Here.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Craig. For another 5 units, I'll tell you where it is.
Where what is?
You know, the mic.
Mic?
Okay, make it 3 units. I won't hold you up.
You mean a microphone?
Yeah, that's right. They wanted to put screens in, but the boss convinced him there ain't any Freedomites ever stay here.
Freedomites?
Not so loud. You want to get controlled?
No. Here's the money. Where is it?
It's in the bed illuminator. You can short it with a razor blade.
Thanks.
You want any sensation tapes?
What are they?
Well, you know, mental image. Oh, boy, you've been away from Terra a long time.
Wait a minute, before you go, son.
Yeah?
Where's the minerals building? I have to report there for a job interview.
Oh, that's in the government cluster. Fifth level at X and second.
Thanks. I'll want breakfast about 8 o'clock.
Well, I'll need your ISS units.
My what?
Your ration units.
I don't have any ration units.
You have your ident card?
Look, I just got here an hour ago.
Well, you better go see the Civil Control Board tomorrow. If you want to eat, that is.
All right, where do I find the control board?
Government cluster. But don't worry. If you don't find them, they'll find you.
I went to sleep that night with the uneasy feeling that somebody was watching me. It had been a weird day. I hadn't exactly liked it. Well, I told myself, it figured that there'd be more formalities and rigmarole on Earth than there were out in the systems, especially at first. Still, I couldn't get the idea of the concealed microphone out of my mind.
You may relax, Mr. Craig. You are Mr. Craig.
Yes, Robert Craig.
You aren't nervous, are you?
No. This is my first time before the control board, and... Well, it's my first time.
Flight officer, eh? Somewhat unusual for a vigorous young man like yourself abandoning space service, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it?
Leaving something behind, Mr. Craig?
No.
You don't like this sort of affair, do you, Mr. Craig?
Well, I'm afraid I don't quite see its necessity. I served the Intergalactic Service well. My records prove it.
It's enough impertinence, Mr. Craig. Answer the questions. You are a Terran?
Yes.
Where are your loyalties?
I don't understand.
Your first loyalties are to Intergalactic, is that right?
Is there a distinction?
Do you wish to be held in contempt of this board?
Of course not.
Then you will confine your responses to simple yes answers. Now, Mr. Craig, we shall begin again. Please try to show restraint of emotion. You are here to petition for an identity card of provisional code 2 type. You maintain that you've never been on Terra before. Indeed, you state that you've never had a political affiliation.
Yes.
What are your reactions to the latest acts of the Liberal Party?
I have none.
You do not condemn the Liberal Party?
Well, I...
Then you must favor it.
I don't know anything about it.
Now then, Mr. Craig. The import service report shows that you passed your test aboard your ship. You were enabled to accomplish this through night study.
Yes.
Yet you maintain in your application that you had considered the space service a career.
I changed my mind.
Oh, you changed your mind. I see. I see, too, that you have petitioned the board for a private means of conveyance. Why do you wish to own your own transportation vehicle?
To make it easier to get around, I report to my job and...
What job?
I passed the exam for the import service. I report today.
Where are you living, Mr. Craig?
At the Star Hotel.
Very well. You'll wait outside in the waiting room until you're called again.
I waited about 2 hours in the porcelainized waiting room of the Civil Control Board. Then I was called over to the clerk's desk at a small window. He stamped some cards for me.
Craig.
Here.
Here's your stuff. Class 1 provisional ident card. Sign it and fingerprint it. Don't lose it. If you do, you'll be picked up by the control agents.
I petitioned for a class 2 card.
You get a class 1. This entitles you to maintain an apartment in the lower level of the Beverly Project. Here's your clothing ration. You'll have to turn in that leather flight jacket.
No, wait a minute. I had this made on Chuan. Listen, I can remove the insignia.
That is not the point. Your clothing ration is defined by law. There are no exceptions. This is your food ration.
Now, what's all this medical stuff on the card?
You are rationed fairly in accordance with your particular metabolism.
Oh, you're kidding.
I do not kid, Mr. Craig.
Well, what about a car? I asked to be allowed to buy a car.
I see. Your petition to be permitted to purchase a private means of transportation is hereby denied.
I walked out of the control board feeling like a man who has just come out of free fall into a hypergravity system. Instead of reporting to the import service for my initial job interview, I walked around the city. I don't know how long I walked, maybe an hour, maybe two. After a while, I came to the outskirts of old Los Angeles. There was a big fence around it and the usual signs. Radioactivity. Beware. It was just a pile of rubble and twisted girders. I looked at it for a while and then turned around and headed for the intergalactic freight office.
So you figure you made a mistake?
Yeah, that's right. You don't hear much about Terra out there.
And you want me to sign you back into Intergalactic?
Yes.
You got any character references?
No, not here on Earth, but I can post a good-sized bond if they'll release my ISS units.
What's your rating?
I can handle anything, up to 15 G's acceleration on my old license.
You got a Terran contract with import service, you said?
I haven't started work yet.
Look, kid. Mr. Craig, is it? How long you been on Earth?
2 days.
So you're a spaceman. Flight officer, ex-flight officer. You know how to navigate through 4 star zones and the asteroid belt thrown in. You got a license for 15 G's, could get 5 more with a check flight. You got enough brains to pass the import senior router's exam. But you ain't got enough sense to come in out of the rain. We get guys like you every day. You're hot, you're big, you're raring to go. But you ain't gone nowhere.
I'm listening.
I don't know how you got here, Craig. Maybe you did quit honorable, or maybe you went and burned up a colony someplace.
That would be in my records.
The point is, it don't make any difference. Nobody leaves Terra without a permit. Nobody gets a permit to go back to space once he hits this old apple.
Why not? They afraid somebody will tell what it's like?
Oh, son, you got things to learn. One is you don't go shooting off your mouth. Another is Terra's changed a lot since the radioactive wars. We're going places, doing things. Big places, big things. You've got to fit into that, kid. Move with it. Stick around. You still got your sea legs. You're gonna like it here. You can make a quick dollar and spend it quick, too. But you'd better smarten up, or you'll finish scrubbing radioactive dust off girders.
That's the story, huh? The whole story?
That's it. Everything runs by a system. And, son, you can't buck the system.
Yeah. I don't suppose there's any place around here a guy could get a quick drink.
Oh, yeah, out at the end of Y Street, they got a little place you can buy an Acadian Taz. Pluto's, they call it.
Thanks.
Yeah, get it out of your system and then settle down. That's my advice.
Thanks. So long.
Get me the control agent. He just left here. He's on his way to the Pluto Cafe.
Hey, waiter. Waiter, bring me another drink for the young lady.
Ah. Now then, where were we?
Well, I don't know. In fact, I still don't know why you're buying me free drinks.
I told you, I want somebody to talk to.
You, a purist? Or maybe you don't like the brand of Sensatia tapes they're peddling these days.
You know, you don't have a bad face, really, underneath the makeup. I mean, it's a little crooked, but it ain't bad, really.
Thanks. Does me pretty good.
Well, what's your name?
Gloria.
Oh, sure. Sure, I remember. Gloria!
Maybe you had enough to drink.
No, not yet. You know, I look around, I see all these people with their faces all froze up like plastic. And I feel like I got to know somebody, or I go out of my mind. So what happens?
Everybody is afraid. I mean, what happened? Whatever happened to freedom? What's the matter? Did I say something? Was everybody so quiet about all of a sudden?
Okay. Come with me.
Yeah, well, who are you?
Control board agent.
Control?
Hey, I wasn't with him. Honest, he just picked me up and bought me a drink and started shooting off his mouth. I wasn't with him.
Let's go, Mac.
Wait a minute. What for?
You'll find that out. Come on. On your feet.
Okay. Carl, keep your hands off. I'll go with you.
Everybody else, just mind your own business. You, Gurley.
Yeah?
Let's see your ident card.
Here.
You live at this address?
Yeah.
Alone?
With my sister.
Maybe some night you could go to a movie or something. We could spend some time getting acquainted.
Yeah. Yeah, sometime.
God, I'll call you.
Hey, I need my dent card back. I can't get rations without it.
I'll keep it. Bring it back myself.
Why don't you give the girl her card? No!
Well, maybe you mind your own business. Let's go. You walk just a little in front of me.
He was a big man, maybe 250 pounds, and he shuffled when he walked. He'd hit me right across the right shoulder with a sort of rubber truncheon. Now it began to ache. We're walking along a sort of back street. Everywhere in the universe there were such streets. Streets where you could find freedom in anonymity. A compromise between lawlessness and law. They are permitted by the authorities because it is necessary to have a place for those who are not permitted elsewhere.
Okay, step into the doorway. Hurry up, you fool. We're being followed.
Well, followed by whom?
Don't ask questions. Who's you told?
Don't I have any rights?
You got the right to get hit over the head unless you do what you're told. Now, quit. Hey, come in. In here. Hurry.
Hey, who are they shooting at, you or me?
Both of us. Down these steps.
Stop! Stop or we'll fire!
Through this door. Now, duck behind that pillar. Don't make a sound.
You see them?
Not a trace.
Come on, they probably slipped out.
Walk through the tunnel behind you. One false move and you're finished. Go on.
From the direction of the tunnel, I guessed it was part of an old sewage system that led toward the ruined city. I don't know how long we walked, maybe an hour. Finally, we came to a small wooden door.
Stop here. Okay, let's have it.
What? Have what?
The tube.
I don't know what you mean.
Our detectors picked it up on you the minute you got off the plane. You're carrying a radioactive message tube with a periodic emission signal. I'll need to have it before we can go any further.
You mean the tube that old Charlie gave me?
Old Charlie?
Yes, Charlie Brockman. The old spaceman who was in the hospital with me.
Where is it?
I think it's in my pocket. I never even bothered to open it.
Do it now.
Let me see. Oh, yeah, here it is.
Open it.
It's empty.
That's right. The message is in the tube itself. We identify our people by the radioactive pattern.
Our people?
You'll see.
Come in. Make it fast. This the one?
This is the one.
Has he been drugged?
He's had PON. A massive dose at the Pluto.
Good. Mr. Craig, my name's Cocteau. This is Mr. Brannigan. You're probably quite bewildered about all this. Let me clarify the situation. You're now in the headquarters of the Freedomites, underneath the radioactive part of old Los Angeles. Mr. Brannigan is not a control agent. He's one of our men. We've been watching you ever since we detected the message tube as your ship was approaching Earth.
Now, wait a minute. You guys are Freedomites?
That's right.
You're pretty illegal, aren't you?
Let's say our lives aren't worth a snap of your fingers if we're caught.
All right, who are you? Where are you from?
Most of us are from the same place you're from, outer space. Many of us had the same history you have. We shipped into Earth and became disillusioned and went to the intergalactic freight office to apply for a job. The man at the office, the man who made the speech about coming in out of the rain, is one of our agents.
Aren't you taking a chance telling me all this?
Not at all. At the Pluto, you were given a massive dose of PON. You won't remember anything that happened to you after the drug hits you in an hour or so. It works like a shock. Everything will be repressed into the unconscious.
Oh, I see. Very neat.
It will exist in your unconscious, however. Somewhere, because you're the kind of man you are, because living in space has taught you the blessing of feeling free, you'll be able to draw upon your unconscious knowledge when you need to.
And when will that be, Mr. Cocteau?
That depends on whether you decide to join us or not.
Join you in what? I haven't the faintest idea of what you're trying to do. For all I know, you're a bunch of traitors. You know, I've heard this comes the revolution stuff before.
My friend, you're woefully ignorant of our aims, as is to be expected. We anticipate no revolution. We print no leaflets, publish no newspaper, and we have no world plan for conquest. The kind of totalitarian mind which subscribes to tight economic systems like the ancient Marxism of the communists is abhorrent to us. We're interested in only one thing, the preservation of the idea of freedom. Our fear is that men will forget what it's like to feel free.
Well, how do you expect to accomplish this?
Our concepts are being kept alive in only one place in the universe today.
Outer space?
Exactly. On the frontiers of the universe, where freedom is a condition of life and growth.
Suppose I join you. How can I help?
You're an experienced pilot. We have enough connections to do some plastic surgery on your face and get you a position piloting a spaceship again. You'll remember nothing of your mission. But you will remember that you have been back to Earth, what it was like. You'll be able, carefully, of course, to tell people, to help keep the idea of freedom alive. Think it over carefully. You have 20 minutes before the drug takes effect.
I don't need 20 minutes. I'll do it.
Good. In exactly 48 hours, you'll wake up in your hotel bed with a new face, the identity card of a man named Harold Janus. You'll not remember how you got them or why, but you'll know what to do with his identity. He is, or was, master navigator on the Earth-Mars run. Good luck, Mr. Craig.
I woke up in the hotel bed, feeling like a man who has hung one on, but good. I looked into the mirror and I saw the face of another man. I looked in my wallet and discovered that I was Harold Janus, navigator for Intergalactic, holder of a license for 15 Gs. I wondered where it came from, how I got it, but I asked no questions. This license, this ident card, meant freedom. I walked out of the hotel feeling steady for the first time. I'd gotten my sea legs at last.
You have just heard X-1 presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features The Venus Trap by Evelyn E. Smith. One thing man never planned to take along into space with him was the Eternal Triangle, especially a true blue triangle like this one. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you Sea Legs, a story from the pages of Galaxy, written by Frank Petrocchi and adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were William Redfield, James Stevens, Stan Early, Charles Penman, James Dukas, Richard Hamilton, Jack Orison, Jack Grimes, Craig McDonald, Ralph Bell, Kermit Murdoch, and Frederica Chandler. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production.
Hear Politics and Primaries, Dateline, Ohio and Indiana, tonight on NBC Radio.
Yet another immigrant, you might say, to planet Earth, who joins a freedom coalition and takes on a new identity. The name of our story was Sea Legs. It was X-1 from May 2nd, 1956. We'll follow in the footsteps of the man called X right after this. You're listening to old-time radio drama on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, this show starts with a bang. You'd think it was an episode of The Lives of Harry Lime. Ken Thurston slain at the very beginning of tonight's episode, and with silver bullets. Our story takes us to Cairo, and an international bandit, and a warehouse full of guns except for one thing. It's called The Silver Scarab. It's The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, from June 19th, 1947.
You're twice as sure with two great names, Frigidaire and General Motors. Frigidaire presents Herbert Marshall as the man called X. Wherever there is mystery, intrigue, romance, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find the man called X. Frigidaire presents Herbert Marshall as Ken Thurston, the man called X.
Good evening, Mr. Thurston. I have a little message for you. If you don't mind, I'll give it to you right now.
Yes? Have you got Cairo?
Not yet, Chief. We're still trying, but the wires to Cairo are...
I don't care how busy they are. There must be some word by now about Thurston's killers. Get after them again. Tell them I want action, fast.
Yes, sir. I'll try immediately.
Now, what do you want, Pagan?
I wanted to tell you something very important about the late departed, Mr. Thurston. Something I'm sure you never realized, Mr. Chief. I happen to be his only heir.
His what?
So many times he told me, Pagan... When I go, I wish to leave everything to you.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I don't know where all his money is. But if you would help me to locate it for a reasonable commission...
Pagan, you dirty, chiseling, black-hearted...
Yes, I know, but if you would help me collect his estate, I could give you a percentage. A small one, of course, but...
Get out of my office! Get out before I... Yes?
There's a call from Cairo, sir. It just came through.
I'll take it. Hello. Hello!
You sound dyspeptic, Chief.
And what if I do? What business is it of you? Ken. Ken Thurston.
Hmm?
Hiya, Chief.
But why? It can't be you. The reports of your death. Ken, what happened there in Cairo?
A local lab was working with me. He was in my room alone when a female visitor came calling on me. Her charms proved fatal.
Yes, but why... Well, why send out the story that you were killed?
Chief, if the boys we're after think I'm dead, maybe they'll relax a little.
Oh, then the looting of that steamer carrying an American relief shipment isn't just an isolated case.
Not a chance. The pirates who boarded on the Red Sea were too well organized.
Oh, what a filthy racket. The American people pay for shipments of food and clothing for those poor, starving unfortunates.
I know. And they pay Captain Kidd to make a fortune on the black market.
Mm-hmm. Any lead yet on who's behind it?
Chief, send me the Haberman file by the first plane.
The Haberman file? Good Lord, Ken, what makes you think he's mixed up in this?
Because I was killed with 3 silver bullets.
Silver bullets?
Do I get that file?
Yes, right away. Where'll my man get in touch with you?
At the Kismet. A crummy little cafe near the Nile.
A good place for you to hide out?
No, terrible. But they serve the finest martinis I've ever tasted.
Here, Effendi. Few martini with the onion.
Good. Now I'll bring another for the young lady.
I see no young lady at your table.
Oh, you will in a second.
Very well, Effendi.
I heard you order that drink for me.
Too bad. I wanted to surprise you.
How did you know I would join you?
I saw you come in and check the unattached mails, and I thought, well...
I had a friend once who liked onions in his martinis. He had excellent taste in drinks.
Nothing wrong with his taste in women.
Your martini, Effendi.
Oh, good. Here. Yeah.
Thank you, Effendi.
Shall we drink?
To our meeting?
To your friend who brought it about.
To my friend.
What was your friend's name?
I thought it was Ken Thurston.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, he died before I learned his real name.
Too bad. How did it happen?
I killed him. The martini, it is too strong, perhaps.
Hmm. So this meeting's no accident.
You knew it was not.
You're going to shoot me again?
That depends. I'm very fond of money.
I'm very fond of living.
We could both be happy.
Oh.
If you were to remain alive, you could pay me money for information.
Would it be worth it?
Would it not be worth almost any amount if it concerned Silva?
You're a very interesting person.
I could be even more...
What's the matter?
Outside through that window, I thought I saw... I should have to leave now. Can you meet me later tonight?
Where?
At the Silver Scarf. Meet me there in an hour.
Have the martini waiting.
The young lady is leaving, Effendi.
She's left. Try counting up to 10. I'll be gone, too. Never mind counting. It's too late now.
No, Mr. Thurston. What happened? No, Mr. Thurston, don't go out there.
Hey, where did you come from? No, wait, I'll talk to you later. Get out of my way.
No, Mr. Thurston, people are shooting out there, killing each other.
I've got to get to that girl. Well.
Is that the girl you were after, Mr. X? That one lying there in the street?
Yes.
Oh.
I say, what's all this rumpus about? Fearfully noisy neighborhood. Fellow can't get a decent night's sleep. Girl's been hurt, eh? Well, let's have a look at her.
You a doctor?
Have been for 40 years. Sibley's the name. Dr. Ford Sibley. My place is right across the street. I've been practicing here, but let me see.
Never mind your life's history. What about hers? Any future to it?
The girl's future's all in her past, young man. She's dead.
Yes, I saw it all, Mr. Thurston. The car was parked waiting for her. She opened the door, she screamed, and then came the shots.
So you dove for the doorway of the kismet like a scared rabbit, instead of getting the license number.
For which you should thank me. We have no time to chase local murderers, not while this dangerous Haberman is still alive.
What do you know about Haberman?
Huh? What do I... Why else would the chief send me to you with this file?
Probably because you talked him into it, for your usual slight consideration. So that's what you're doing here in Cairo. Pagan... Oh, skip it.
Well, as I was saying, did you know that this fellow Haberman is an international soldier of fortune and a pirate?
I did.
Oh. Well, did you know that there is no description of him anywhere? Not even his sex? The only clue is that he's nuts about silver. All his jewelry, ornaments, even his weapons are of silver.
Remind me to buy you a dictionary, Pagan.
Dictionary?
So you can learn the meaning of secret and confidential. They're stamped on the outside of the reports you brought me.
Oh. But, Mr. X, why do you think Haberman is here in Cairo?
The bullets that killed that man in my room were made of silver.
This Haberman deserves to be caught and hung. Using such a precious metal in such a wasteful fashion.
I'll work on it, Pagan, starting right here.
Here? But we've stopped in front of a nightclub.
That's right. The Silver Scarab.
The floor show. And a female dancer, too. You know, Mr. Thurston, there's nothing I like better than a female dancer. Unless it's a female. Mr. X. She's the dead girl. That dancer is the dead girl come back to life.
The resemblance is close, but not that close.
Oh, yes, you're right. I can see that now.
Sure.
But for a minute I thought... Look at those silver spangles on her dress. Fascinating.
Yeah. Stay here, Pagan. I'll pick you up later.
But why leave now, Mr. Thurston? There will be other dancers, I hope.
Yeah, I want to see this one in her dressing room.
Mr.
nothing about it. It was her own idea.
I think it's your lies, Aida. Why did she visit this man?
I tell you, I do not know. I just... Oh!
Again, I ask you, Zaida, why did she visit him?
Playing pretty rough, aren't you?
What is the meaning of this intrusion?
Do I have to write it out for you?
Your humor is as badly conceived as your entrance here. Perhaps this will teach you to mend your manners.
Never lead with your right. It gets into trouble.
Release my arm. You're breaking it.
Funny thing about judo, it's liable to hurt people.
I'll kill you for this.
Let's talk about it later. Good night.
You were very foolish. He meant that.
I've been foolish before.
Not with men like that.
Worse. With women.
Oh?
Do I get a choice tonight?
That might depend on what you can tell me of my sister Deborah's death, Mr. Thurston.
Good old Egyptian grapevine.
Well, are you still in a foolish mood?
Sure, but not here.
No? Then where?
Why not a little boat ride on the Nile? It's a full moon.
You see, Ken, my sister Deborah preferred the easy life, quick money, men like Polzin, the man you threw out of my dressing room.
Mm.
He's a wealthy and powerful man, Ken, owner of the Euphrates Shipping Company.
Euphrates Shipping Company?
You see, he was her friend. It was because of him, I think, that Deborah was involved in this trouble.
What trouble, Zaida?
That's just it. I do not know any details. That was why I wished to speak with you. I thought perhaps you could tell me something about it.
Oh, you're drawing a blank here, Zaida. I only met her a couple of hours ago, and then only for a few minutes.
I see. And now my poor sister Deborah is dead. Well, the fates have decided. There's nothing we can do to alter their decision. I'm a great believer in the fates, Ken.
What did they tell you about the immediate future?
I do not know, Ken.
Would you like to guess?
I'm not sure.
Afraid to find out?
Afraid, yes. But you could give me courage, Ken.
I could try. If you want me to.
Yes, Ken, yes, I want you to. Very much.
Then I'll try. But first...
Oh!
I'll drop that gun.
Oh, let go of my wrist. Let go, I say.
You drop the gun, I drop your wrist.
No, no, I... All right, Ken, all right.
How'd you get that little inspiration?
Because I have sworn to kill the man who murdered Deborah, and I think you are the one.
Let's keep an open mind about this.
You cannot convince me otherwise.
No, I can try. And hold you in my arms this way, there isn't very much you can do about it.
Oh, Ken. Everything is so mixed up. What can I do?
I don't know yet. But you've got to change your mind, Zaida. And this is the pleasantest way of trying to convince you I can think of.
Mr. Thurston, this is a definite imposition on my good nature. Dragging me around in dark alleys like this. Would you mind telling me why we're here?
To find out what makes the wealthy Mr. Polzin wealthy.
And you think you can find that out by sneaking around behind all these warehouses?
Not all of them, just this one. Euphrates Shipping Company. Now get out your jackknife, Pagon, and jimmy that window.
You talk as though I was a professional warehouse breaker. I don't know how to do that.
I'll give 8 to 5 that Haberman's loot is mostly silver.
Oh, of course, merely as a favor to you, Mr. Thurston. I might try being new at this. I don't know how successful I will be, but... Why, look, Mr. Thurston. What?
Amazing. Let's climb in.
It's as black as Haberman's soul in here, Mr. Thurston.
Quiet, Beacon. The light under that door.
Somebody's in there, probably with a gun or a knife.
Let's go in and see.
Do we have to? Can't we just...
Well?
Coffins. The room is filled with coffins. What would they be doing in a warehouse of the Euphrates Shipping Company?
I'll bet. Let's see if we can find the answer. We'll look inside one of them.
Huh? Oh, no, Mr. Thurston. Let the dead rest in peace. If we leave them alone, maybe they'll leave us alone. Eh? Maybe. Mr. Thurston? Look.
Yeah. Rifles, submachine guns, all kinds of guns.
But what a peculiar cargo for coffins.
Yeah. Let's check this one. This one's different, Pedro.
I'm leaving. I just remembered an important engagement. I left my waffle iron burning.
Don't be a fool. She can't hurt you now.
How do I know? If she can move from the street in front of the kismet into this coffin, she can do anything. Mr. X, there's no chance of a mistake?
No. No. The girl in that coffin. That's Deborah.
Return to Frigidaire's Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall. Mr. X is in Cairo to track down the international bandit Tauberman. The trail has led him to a warehouse of the Euphrates Shipping Company, which he finds filled with coffins containing rifles and machine guns, except one, which holds the body of the mysterious Egyptian girl, Debra. We join him now as he and Pagan stand there looking down at her.
Please, Mr. Thurston, let's get out of here.
Small round bruise on her throat, just above the artery. I wonder.
The only thing I wonder about is why are we still standing here?
Wait till I check the shipping tags on these coffins. That's in Arabic, but a few words, pretty clear. Port Said, Mohammed Bay, Mecca. Come on, Pagan, we're leaving.
But where are we going?
To Port Said, by way of Dr. Sibley's joint across from the Kismet Cafe.
Outrageous. There was I waiting for the authorities to arrive to get the girl's body, you know, when this Arabian fellow approached and struck me unconscious. Came to and the girl was gone.
Ever seen him before, Doctor?
Once or twice, Mr. Thurston, frequenting the Kismet. Never even been introduced. Makes me furious. Can't do that to me. I want to be in the know, Thurston, definitely. Don't know what's up. Or that sort of thing, but I want to be in the know.
How well do you know Port Said, Doctor?
Been in the Middle East 40 years. Know the place like a book.
Good, you're in. I'll brief you later. Right now, get us to Port Said in a hurry.
Right. What's the time? Don't have a watch. Never carry the beastly things.
Huh?
Always stopping on me.
It's 11:43.
Oh, splendid. Time enough to catch the last night train. I'll phone for a cab. Be right back.
Mr. Thurston, I am not going to ask you about the guns, or about the Polzine, or the dead girl, or the dancer Zaida. Not even about Haberman. I just want to know one thing.
Why are we going to Port Said?
Yes, why we're... You said it.
Pagan, we're going there to find out about the guns. We're going to find out about Polzine, Debra, Zaida, and Haberman.
There it is, Thurston. Night train to Port Said. First-class carriages are on this side. Shall we get aboard?
Yes, but not together.
No.
You got a compartment for yourself. We'll meet in Port Said.
Quite. Undercover sort of thing. Well, suggest we meet at the El Akbar Hotel.
El Akbar.
A middle-class traveler's lodging. Quite respectable.
Write it down for me, will you?
Sorry, can't. No pen or pencil.
Huh?
I'll never carry them. Pens always leak and the pencils run out of lead.
That's all right. I'll remember. See you there.
Right, cheerio. I'll see you at the good old Akbar.
Well, Mr. Thurston, did we get aboard, too?
Yeah. No.
Huh?
Hello, Polzine.
You have a faculty for appearing where you're not wanted, Mr. Thurston.
So I've been told. Going somewhere? Port Said, for instance?
Prying into my affairs or interfering with them is a very dangerous pastime. Good night, Mr. Thurston.
You know something? That man's personality doesn't like me.
He doesn't exactly send me. Let's get aboard. We'll take the third compartment on the left.
Why the third one?
Because Polzine's taking the second.
Well, wouldn't it be less crowded if we took the fourth compartment? You know, a little farther away?
There's another friend of ours in four.
Huh?
She got aboard while Polzine was talking to us.
She?
Zaida.
Ken. It's been so wonderful. Just the two of us here in this compartment. And now we're nearing Port Said, and our journey together will end.
I wonder.
Ken, listen to me. You must forget this business that brings you here. You don't know how powerful the forces are working against you.
I took a correspondence course in muscle building once.
Please, Ken, this is no joking matter. The pit has already been dug. The pit intended to be the grave of the man called X.
There must be another letter in the alphabet. I better find it. Too many people seem to know that one.
Then you will not listen to me. Oh, Ken, please don't die. Please.
That's good advice, Saida. I'll try to follow it.
There are times, Mr. X, when you're the most tiring of all men. No sooner do we arrive at Port Said when you rush me like mad to commissioner of the port.
Well?
And then before I have even had a chance to chase my breath, we're off again. This time down here to the docks. Mr. Thurston.
There's your answer, Pagan. The Mohammed Bey.
The So that's what Mohammed Bey stands for. A rusty old tramp steamer. And look at the cargo they're loading. Coffins. Coffins?
Yeah. Those Indians built up a live trade in dead Mohammedans, lugging coffins to Mecca. Who'd suspect that a sanctimonious guy of substituting guns for bodies and dropping him off to harbormen?
Ah, so that's how he can be a regular pirate and steal the American relief supply.
Sure.
But how do you know that these coffins are the same ones that we saw in the warehouse?
I don't. That's why I'm going to sneak aboard and find out.
Huh? Oh, no.
You meet Dr. Sibley at the El Akbar Hotel. Wait for me there.
And if you don't happen to show up? You know, they could kill you, you know.
Find yourself a nice nightclub. Maybe the dancers can help you forget your bereavement. What?
It's now my turn to ask the question, Mr. Thurston. Are you going somewhere?
Colzine, you remind me of a summer cold. Very unpleasant and hard to get rid of.
Sometimes if colds are ignored and get bad enough, they can prove to be fatal.
What is this? National Pistol Week? I haven't seen so many guns since the last gangster picture.
Unlike the weapons in the cinema, this one does not shoot blanks.
Huh?
Turn around with your back toward me.
I haven't got much choice, have I?
You are going aboard the Mohammed Bey to a much warmer welcome than you had expected. Mr. X. Well, Thurston, how do you feel now?
I see your cabin has all the latest conveniences, including the lovely Zaida.
I'm sorry, Ken. I tried to warn you, but you would not listen to me.
It sounded appealing, but I couldn't go for it. Now, while Haberman was... No, not while he was still running around loose.
Ah, yes, Haberman. Now that the Mohammed Bey has started her journey, you can forget about him. Long before we reach Mecca, you will have forgotten about everything. Because you will not...
Stand fast, everyone!
Vega!
Mr. Thurston, we have come to the rescue. Shoot the first pirate who moves, Miss Dr. Sibley.
Sibley?
We will make them board the gangplank later.
Pagan, you idiot. How'd you ever dream this up?
That's gratitude for you. I meet Dr. Sibley on the dock. We witness your abduction, risk our lives to come aboard and save you from sudden death. And you call me an idiot.
Don't take my word for it. Ask Haberman.
What's he got to do with it?
You brought him aboard with you.
Mr. Thurston, the strain has caused you to lose your mind. I only brought Dr. Sibley aboard. So how could I have... Oh, no. Oh, tell me he's wrong, Doctor. Tell me he's...
Impossible, old chef. He's quite correct. You can relax now, Polzine. Zaida, I have them covered. Tell me, Mr. X, how did you know?
Your old weakness, Haberman, silver. It showed up in your disguise.
Nonsense. I deliberately wore nothing metallic on.
Oh, that's what I mean. You went overboard. I never heard of a doctor not carrying a watch or fountain pen or pencil. When I thought about it, it wasn't too tough to figure out why they'd all be silver. But the worst mistake you made was in killing Deborah.
Killing Deborah? But my sister was killed by shots from a car.
One of Haberman's stooges shot her all right, but the bullets didn't kill her. The small, round bruise on her throat proved that.
I do not understand, Ken.
When Haberman was playing doctor, he must have found a pulse in her throat. That meant she might still talk.
After she failed to kill you at the hotel and was going to double-cross me by selling information to you, I had no alternative but to strangle her.
Kind of looks like he's the man you've been looking for, Zaida.
Yes. The man who killed my sister. The man I swore I would kill in turn. The man I am going to
Zaida,
kill.
Zaida, that knife. Put down that knife or I'll...
Zaida, Mister, you fool, what have you done?
Hold it, Poseen.
Some knife throw right through the shoulder.
Pick up his gun, Pagan.
Sure, Mr. X.
Swine.
Thanks, Ada.
Ken, I don't know what to say.
So you tied up with these two to find out who killed Deborah?
It's true, Ken, I swear it.
Well, Poseen?
You forget we're practically on the high seas, Thurston. You cannot possibly hope to take this ship over by yourself.
That's why I arranged for a little help before I came aboard. You'll notice we're losing way. That means a destroyer is coming alongside.
You're right, Mr. Thurston. So we don't have to make a pilgrimage after all.
No, Fagel. But Harbourman and Poseen do. A one-way pilgrimage to the final payoff of piracy. There's nothing in this world lower than the rats who profit by stealing from the poor and starving. That's why we've got to stop them. It's a long, tough job, but you know, I can think of 140 million people who just love to roll up their shirt sleeves and do it.
Frigidaire star, Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. And next week, I promise you another story filled with suspense and mystery. As usual, there'll be Leon Belasco along as Pagan Zellschmidt. So join us, won't you, when next I return as the man called X. Good night.
Frigidaire's Man Called X is directed by Jack Johnstone, with music composed and conducted by Johnny Green. Tonight's story was written by Sidney Marshall. So until next week, same time, same station, this is Wendell Niles speaking for Frigidaire, made only by General Motors. All characters and incidents used are fictitious, and any resemblance to actual persons or incidents is purely coincidental. CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Herbert Marshall as Ken Thurston, the man called X. Very much alive at the beginning and at the end of the show, as if you hadn't guessed. It was all a ruse in the Silver Scarab. Our story came from June 19, 1947, and that puts the wraps on old-time radio drama for tonight. I'm Norman Gilliland. Thanks for joining me, and we'll have more next time. Join me by the glow of your radio next weekend from 8 to 11 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.